internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show, where we redefine the elite athlete by bringing education, athleticism, and community service together. We bring fun back to sports and make it part of family entertainment. We lay the foundation for excellence as we help parents navigate the challenges of playing sports from high school to the pros. I am Ida Mouyeh, your host and your original pro-ready coach. Tonight we have got a very, very special broadcast for you. We are calling it the Baseball Special, and we're going to talk about the baseball treadmill, the great, the good, and the ugly. Now, a lot of people wonder, what is baseball today? Is it America's favorite pastime? Some call it a man's game. Some look at it as the ballpark hot dogs as we think about the visions of yesterday. A lot of them think about the neighborhood ballparks and family entertainment. And a lot of them ask the question, how far has it come since Jackie Robinson entered the Major League Baseball 60 years ago? Now, these are some of the questions that we're going to be asking my special guest, Cliff Johnson. He is a 15-year veteran of baseball, a member of the 77-78 Yankees World Series Championship. Cliff, for you out there who do not remember, holds the major league record for pinch hit home runs with 20, posted a .258 batting average with 96 home runs and a 669 RBI out of 1,300 games. At this time, it's with honor and pleasure that I welcome to the show Mr. Cliff Johnson.
Thank you, Ida.
Welcome, Cliff. Gosh, I'm so glad to finally get you on the show here. Now, Cliff, growing up in San Antonio, Texas, this is where you were introduced to the great game of baseball. So what was so great about baseball in San Antonio, Texas?
Well, I think it was about the same, Ida, everywhere, not only in San Antonio, but that's what we had to look forward to in the summertime. School is out in San Antonio about the last couple of days in May, and we couldn't wait to get out on those hot fields in the summertime and get our hair all full of sand and get dirty, and that's what we really had to look forward to.
Okay. Now, I understand that you played other sports, but you chose baseball. Who were some of your heroes in baseball that made you choose that as your coveted sport?
Well, actually, I used to look at Don Newcomb, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Harmon Killebrew, obviously Mickey Mantle, all the greats, Ernie Banks, Billy Williams. And I don't know, for some reason, I probably gravitated toward Uncle Willie the same reason why a lot of other people did, because he was just such a great athlete. He could do it all. We like to say that he had the total package.
Okay. So is that who you really modeled your career after, trying to put that total package together?
Well, not really, Ida, because, as I stated, Willie had a total package. Anybody that know anything about Cliff Johnson know that I'm 6'4", and I was about 221 my playing weight, so I was built for power. I wasn't built for speed, so
okay.
I lost out on some of Uncle Willie's attributes.
Okay, attitude in that respect, I'm sure. Now, the Dodgers recently had their big celebration of Jackie Robinson's 60th anniversary debut with a sea of number 42s and all these players wearing these throwback jerseys. Of course, Robinson was baseball's first Afro-American player, the first rookie of the year in 47, National League MVP in 49, and, of course, inducted in the Hall of Fame in 62. How much pride did this event bring to you as a future Hall of Famer yourself?
Well, the thing of it is, I mean, someone had to be the bell cow. And clearly, this man was the bell cow. It deters me to no end to hear some young African-American athletes, or in particular baseball players, that does not know or know anything about what Jackie Robinson did, what his purpose was, actually who the man actually is.
Why don't you share some of your personal experiences as you look at his history?
Well, first of all, Branch Rickey, I got to applaud Branch Rickey, because if you follow this thing in it all, excuse me, if you follow this thing in it all, there were a lot of players that could have qualified to have played in the big leagues. Just like I was not the most talented, well, I might have been one of the most talented off the west side of San Antonio, but there were other kids that, you know, could play as well, if not better than I. But this man was chosen because he was an educated man. He was a man that Branch Rickey felt like he could put enough trust into to make this integration thing go over and go over well.
So in other words, he was pretty much sort of like the test case of whether or not blacks could play in Major League and do it successfully?
Well, if there's a such thing as a good guinea pig, he was a great guinea pig, because he was the first, he was the best, he was the greatest. You know, I love looking at old movies of Jackie, because Jackie had a fire and intensity about his game that,
would you like to hear that story of that's
seldom matched by contemporary players.
Well, I understand he was also on the actual front row of actually race relationships as well. And a lot of people don't hear a lot about that, but I understand that he was, his wife likes to remind him that he was not only a great baseball player, but he was also a great humanitarian as well.
Absolutely correct. Every time I see Rachel, I love to see her, as beautiful as she is today. I can only imagine what a fox she was back in her younger days.
Well, listen, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in baseball right now. Commissioner Siegler has said that baseball mirrors life, and baseball does sit at a major crossroad today with so much news about the steroids allegations, a lot of DUI charges, domestic violence, some unsportsmanship conduct, as well as some discord among teammates and coaches. Now, what do you think is really driving this today? I mean, there's so much negative press. I mean, Josh Hancock, of course, several weeks ago, has a terrible accident, dies. They find marijuana in his truck, also finds that he's dying. He's actually driving under the influence, as well as history that he may even played under the influence. David Ortiz has also admitted that he took a cocktail that might have been laced with steroids. I mean, has money corrupted the sport?
Well, first of all, let me go back to come forward to answer your first question. Baseball players, as well as athletes, period, are human beings just like anybody else is. They have the same human frailties, et cetera. But at the same time, they do have a role to uphold. And contrary to what Charles Barkley says, I do not agree with any of that, that we are looked upon as people that other people aspire to be like. So that automatically throws you in such a fishbowl to where you should try to do as close to the right thing as you possibly can. I know sometimes when I talk to kids, you know, I tell them that I had more fun than the law allowed. But I also had this thing about I could not afford to let my parents read about me raising hell in a bar, getting drunk, forcing myself on someone, or doing these things that's making the police blotted today.
Sounds like you had a lot of integrity as a man and as well as a player, and you really respected the image of the sport. Now, Barry Bonds has become the poster child of steroids, alleged use. He's been booed at the nation's ballparks that he plays, and there's even been threats of his life, and the closer he gets to breaking Hank Aaron's home run record. I imagine from Barry's perspective, this is probably the most important goal in his life, because he sits on this pendulum every day. From the fans' point of view, it's not Bond's record, it's the Roy's record, as they call it. And from the news perspective, you know, their negative press sales. The $25,000 question is, what will the commissioner do when the record is broken? I mean, what would you do if you were the commissioner? There's speculation that the commissioner may stay home. Some saying that he will just overlook this record and look for the next record. How do you think this should be treated, and how should history look back on this?
Well, first of all, Ida, I really hate to be a finger pointer because I don't think I ever really was a finger pointer, but the commissioner could have quelled this long ago. Okay, the commissioner, when baseball in Congress called themselves coming down on baseball. Well, first of all, I had a problem with that because baseball should be able to police baseball. I mean, you know, you had enough stupidity up in Washington for those people to try to be working out more and important situations and happenings other than some jock out here accused of taking steroids. Now, commissioner could have stepped right in and said, okay, this is the line in the sand. Anyone that comes up dirty henceforth, okay, we'll deal with them. But then I look at the penalty. It was laughable. It was totally laughable. And, you know, I hate to sound like all the million people that are out in the world hating on professional sports, but dollars and cents does have an overriding factor on what's going on in the game today. One reason why when my son was playing, I did not want to be a coach or a manager. I offered to give them clinics, cut yards, mark off fields, but I felt like I had taken enough abuse and gone through enough things while I was still playing. If Bud Selig ignores Barry Bonds, there has been a lot of things said about Bud Selig, and I really believe in my heart of hearts, Bud Selig is a decent man. But if he ignores Barry Bonds in this quest to break Hank Aaron's record and stay home, as you stated, or ignore it, then I'm going to have to jump on the bandwagon of the people that are saying that he's an unfit commissioner.
Yeah, we are hearing a little bit about that. That seems to be the hue and cry out there that a lot of things that is happening with baseball, he could be controlling. Well, you're hearing it first here on the Sports Maverick Show. We're talking about baseball's treadmill. We're talking about the great, the good, and the ugly. And we're going to be talking a little bit more here with my special guest, Cliff Johnson, as we come back after our 3-minute break. This is Ida Moyer with the Sports Maverick Show, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show at www.sportsmavericks.com. We'll be back in three.
I think it's important for the fans.
It's about the passion of the game.
I just kept it me. Like, I think that's what you got to do.
You know, we're doing it like this right here, you know?
A new all-star lineup begins April 19th on Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Can't get enough of college basketball? We can't either. Tune into the College Basketball Experience with host Jim Haney for the ultimate interactive basketball talk radio show. Don't just watch college basketball. Hear about it and talk about it with those who know college basketball best, the coaches. The College Basketball Experience airs live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 o'clock Eastern, with Jim Haney, the Executive Director of the National Association of Basketball Coaches. Participate in active open discussions on current topics in college basketball, and as Jim brings listeners insight from today's top college basketball coaches, as well as stories and opinions from the legends of college basketball. That's the College Basketball Experience, airing live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Voice America Sports Network. Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Sports Channel. And let's talk football.
We just say it like it is.
And you can too.
Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the second segment of our show entitled Baseball Treadmill, The Great, the Good, and the Ugly. We have the privilege of having a future Hall of Famer, Cliff Johnson, as our guest tonight. Cliff enjoyed 15 years in Major League Baseball and holds the record for pinch hit home runs. Welcome back to the show, Cliff.
Thank you, Ida.
Well, Cliff, we were talking earlier about this upcoming thing with Barry Bonds, and we'll revisit that again as we go through the program, and I'm sure there's callers out there who will have questions as well. But I want to talk a little bit about your old team, the Yankees. They had a magical night with their rookie pitcher, Tyler Clipper, the other day. He allowed 3 hits over the 6 innings, and the Yankees, 6-2, win over the Mets. And then on Monday night, A-Rod and Giamy homered, yanked the victory from the Boston Red Sox. But people still are asking the question, what do the Yankees need to do to get back at the top of the American East?
Well, I think it's the same thing that it was the same question that they were asking going into spring training. Where were they going to get some quality pitching? And to be a contender, considered a contender, the Yankees pitching staff was probably as slack as I've ever seen it. I mean, they only had the Oriental kid that. You know, that was a strong starter. The rest of them, there were serious question marks over. So, I mean, you know, when you come out of spring training, you need to come out with some pitching staff that's going to hold some people, because every night you're hitting is not going to be able to bail you out.
Well, that's true. Now, here's the big thing. Roger Clemens just signed a $28 million contract, and many critics feel that he is too old to contribute. But contrary to that belief, position by position, there's many prevailing old-timers still playing baseball. I mean, look at the Mets. You got 48-year-old Julio Franco. You got the Dodgers second base, 39-year-old Jeff Kent. San Diego shortstop Omar Vizquel, you know, and then you've got Houston's third base Craig Biegel, who's 41. This list just goes on. Now, what pressure does this place on baseball with this emerging senior class, and how does it affect the rookie class?
Well, first of all, you need to understand that Houston, probably the greatest ball club in the world for good old boys. You know, Biggio and Bagwell had been around a long time, and Biggio is one of their boys. Granted, he's had a great career, but he has been allowed to stay around, to hang around, to try to get his 3,000th hit. I can't say that some other player or players might not have been as lucky. Julio Franco, I ran into him down in Puerto Rico during a golf tournament 1 year. I think it was 2 years ago, to be exact. And I played against Julio. Julio was with Cleveland when he first came to the big leagues. And I asked him down in Puerto Rico, when was he going to give it up? And he said, long as he could see, he was going to play.
Okay.
You know, I guess these guys have particular reasons why they're still playing. I know I was about 38 when I retired, but I was still productive and still having fun. It just got to a point to where, I'd rather raise black Brangus cattle at that time and stay home and, have fun on the ranch.
Well, again, when you talk about your tenure in baseball, compare the number of games you play in baseball versus a season in basketball or in football. It's a much longer season.
Correct, 162 ball games on a season. Now, that's not to mention the 30 or 35 or so that you have during spring training to get rosters together and see if there's a diamond in the rough, or to discover a new kid on the block. But you have a long, tough schedule. I think that's why you probably really need to love baseball, because baseball is a sport. It's every day, and it can get real tiresome if you don't have it in your heart to really go out every day and do your best and try to have a productive career.
Well, that's excellent. Now, Hank Aaron has been in the news talking about his new role with the Braves' new board of directors. And, of course, you understand how Time Warner has sold that company to the new company that is the media company. Now, his primary goal, he says, is to recruit more blacks into baseball. How difficult is that going to be, and what will it take to convince elite athletes in one sport to come over to baseball?
You know, Ida, that's a real good question. Here a while back, there were fair numbers of African-American players in the big leagues. I know when I came up with Houston, we had six, seven, eight, African Americans, Cedeno, and someone else was probably our only Latin players. But the winds have shifted not only in baseball, the winds have shifted in basketball. Look at my San Antonio Spurs here. Michael Finley is the only African American starter in the starting lineups for the Spurs. I mean, Tim Duncan's from the island. Your point guard is French, so you look all over the NBA, you have the same thing happening. I think, I heard somebody say one time, Michael Jordan probably did more to keep African Americans out of the big leagues, because for some stupid reason, everybody wants to do with a basketball with Michael, what Michael Jordan did. And there's only one Michael Jordan, and I'm, you know, and I like to talk to basketball players who's about 6 feet, 6'1", good athletic prowesses, and I say, well, son, look at basketball now. Look at Division I basketball. You know, you have 6'6" guards. Look at Tracy McGrady's and all these kind of people. Where is that going to leave you at 6'2"? You know, you're going to be cut out. But you can have a career in baseball that's good size. That's great size. You know, you can be an outfielder. You can be a first baseman. You can be a third baseman. Because generally speaking, you have good athletic potential. So I don't really know what it's going to take. I know that the young African American kids are not playing baseball like they used to. I know that for a fact. To get them back playing, I really don't know what it's going to take. I wish I had that. I wish I had that answer.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. Baseball is one of the few sports that athletes can enter straight from high school. And, of course, there is a journey that one has to take. How difficult is it to rise up the ranks from coming straight from high school as opposed to going to junior college or Division I and playing competitive three-year baseball?
Well, I didn't go to college until after I had, started playing baseball. I signed out of high school. I was drafted out of high school by Houston Astros, and I went right on from high school, from Phyllis Wheatley High School here in San Antonio, Texas. But I had to put 5 solid years in the minor leagues before I got a whiff of what the big leagues was all about. But I was never deterred because I knew that I felt like I had what it took to one day become a Major League Baseball player. But, you know, even though I signed out of high school, you have a system that will teach you a minor league system, and it's a good learning experience in a whole lot of ways, in more ways other than just than playing baseball. It teaches you how to be responsible. And back in those days, Ida, when I signed out of high school, my check was $202.74 every 2 weeks. So I had to manage. I had to be responsible. I had to not get fined on nor off the field, because even though fines were like $10, $15, at the most $20, $25, but who had that kind of money to give away haphazardly?
It makes a lot of sense.
So, you know, you had to it taught you a lot about being responsible.
Well, you're hearing it here. I hear you have Cliff Johnson came straight out of high school, straight to baseball. He said it took him 5 years to go in the minor leagues to get to the big leagues. We're going to come back in the next 3 minutes here, and we're going to talk about the high school level. Describe the athletic mind for our listeners. In other words, what does it really take to make it? How much information does the athlete need to process? And obviously, having visual skills are important, but what is required of someone so young and inexperienced? Again, this is Ida Moyer, and you're visiting with our special guest, Cliff Johnson, who is a 15-year veteran with the major leagues, and he is also a member of the, of course, the Yankees, 77 and 78 World Series championship. We'll be back and finish our discussion with Cliff. Again, this is Ida Moyer on Sports Mavericks Show, listening to Voice America.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Being a winner takes a little more than just skill and a whole lot more than luck. It takes preparation and having a winning attitude. Indy 500 race car driver and motivational speaker Lynn St. James brings to the Voice America Network that winning attitude. And the Winner's Circle with Lynn St. James airs live every Tuesday afternoon at 12 Pacific Time, 3 Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Lynn will share her views on motorsports and women in sports. Lynn's 30-plus year career as a race car driver has taken her around the world and enabled her to meet winners from all walks of life. Join Lynn and her guest as they offer their insight on what it takes to get into the winner's circle, whatever the challenge may be. If you have a desire to learn what it takes to be a winner from winners, or if you want to share your formula for success, tune into In the Winner's Circle with Lynn St. James every Tuesday afternoon at 12 Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Here it is, sports fans, the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show, where we talk about sports and everything in between, from high school to college sports, right up to the pros. Join host Arthur Agee, co-star of the 1994 sports documentary, Hoop Dreams, for the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 Eastern, premiering on the Voice America Sports Channel. Arthur will host a variety of guests and will give the average fan a platform to voice his or her opinion about how sports play a significant role in our society. Get set for hard-hitting topics that cut to the soul of sports. See the sports industry through the eyes of the kid in the city and the kid in the suburbs. Hear from the businessmen and, yes, women from around the world. Whatever your passion is, football, basketball, baseball, golf, soccer, NASCAR, or hockey, the Arthur Agee Sports Radio Show is for you. That's every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. You're into our third segment of our show entitled Baseball Treadmill, The Great, The Good, and The Ugly. And we have with us our special guest, Cliff Johnson, talking about the great, the good, and the ugly of baseball today. I am Marty Moyet, your host and your original pro-ready coach. Now, Heat Cliff, which is affectionately known by his fans, is a 15-season veteran of Major League Baseball. He's a member of the 77 and 78 Yankees World Series team. And at this time, I want to welcome back to the show. Welcome back, Cliff.
Thank you, Ida.
Now, where did that Heat Cliff come from?
Actually,
tell our fans out there a little bit about that history of that.
Actually, our little fat catcher in New York, Thurman Munson, hung that on me.
And he did that because?
Well, I mean, you know, the newspaper character, so
okay,
he kind of hung it on me, and it I didn't know it was going to stick like that, but it has stuck all these years, so I guess it was destined to do that.
A little endearing there. Mm-hmm. Well, we were just talking at the hour here about actually the athletic mind in baseball and what it has to take to make it. You mentioned that you went through 5 years in the minor leagues before you went to the major leagues. So at a high school level, someone coming out of high school, going into baseball, what do they have to make it? I mean, how much information does the athlete need to process? And again, talk about some of the typical mental blocks that an athlete can have in high school that keeps them from going to that next level.
Well, first of all, I've always been a sizable enough kid for my age. When I came out of high school, I was 6'4", 215, A lot of power, very strong arm, and I caught, which I tried to beg off after I signed because I wanted to try to preserve my knees, and I felt like I could hit well enough to where I didn't really need to catch. So, but you know, we were talking and about some of the things that young players are faced with. And first of all, let me say there were no steroids when I came through. It really wouldn't have mattered because I wouldn't have taken any anyway. But you know, when people start talking about shortcuts, you know, the only thing about shortcut that I can relate to is when I was walking home from elementary school, cutting through somebody's yard. You know, coming home. You know, taking a shortcut that way, because when you sign your name, it's no more all fun and games. It's a business. People are looked upon you, look at you as a business. You have to function as a business. That's what it becomes. So, you know, I was just as young, green, and inexperienced as all the other kids. You know, when I first left and went to Cocoa, Florida, and I come out here and I see all these kids running around, and you got kids from Compton, California. You got kids from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. You got kids from all over. And, you know, here I am, this one kid, one black kid off the west side of San Antonio. And, you know, I'm looking at all these kids. Then you see all the kids that, you learn all the kids that supposed to have been, big bonus babies, and who supposed to have gotten all the money, and of course they were all white. And John Mayberry, my roomie from Detroit, he was the number one draft choice, and he was my first roomie, and I think he got about 30,000-40,000, but that paled in comparison to you know, what they were giving you know, some of the other white kids that they really couldn't carry our jock to the ballpark, but that's the way it was in those days.
Well, what you bring up as a really interesting point is whether or not baseball itself has really, really come any further along since those days. Let's talk about the commissioner a little bit here. You know, is he really getting it right? You know, you've got, you know, baseball, of course, the steroid problem overshadowing the progress. But you've got, number one, baseball is having his record attendance this year. He's increased the television ratings. There's a rare truce with labor, tougher drug testing policies, I understand, was one of the things that union fought against for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then the payoff on wild card teams, the playoff, you know, with the wild card teams, interleague play, some realignments taking place. Mm-hmm. But to bring credibility back to the sports, you know, he appointed an independent authority, Senator George Mitchell, to investigate baseball as its connection to steroids. Now, this steroids does overshadow
George
this.
Mitchell
now,
needs to have his ass on Capitol Hill working with George Bush.
Well, Mitchell does not have any subpoena power.
Straighten out some of that bullshit on Capitol Hill.
Well, as you can see,
not in baseball.
Well, it doesn't need to be in baseball.
Let
I mean,
baseball people police baseball.
Exactly. So basically what I hear you saying is that, you know, baseball should police baseball.
Why, naturally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and
mean,
so you've got this dichotomy going on where you've got Washington want to stick their toes in and claim, you know, that they're in charge. They're the have policing powers over this. But let's just look at the fans of the game. Will this inquiry, you know, whatever the results of this is that going to help bring the fans back to the game? Because a lot of fans did leave because of the controversy.
Well, yeah, but, you know, for the most part, Ida, baseball fan is going to be a baseball fan. I mean, that's neither here nor there. Sure, there has been some people that has told me in the past that, you know, after the last strike, they didn't go back or they had reservations to go back, you know, this and that and the other. Okay, well, that's your prerogative. But some kind of way, they always find their way back to the ballpark. As far as attendance and situation and things of that nature, yeah, because you got baseball fans. But our commissioner, as I stated at the top of the show, is a decent man. But if he does not do anything to, if he doesn't do the correct things to escalate, perpetuate, and to escalate baseball, I would be just like a lot of other people. I would have no compunction whatsoever about seeing another commissioner. The game has been great for too long. It's a great game. It's a wonderful game, you know, and I've always maintained that.
Well, it's two things are happening.
There are just some people in the game that you rather see, you know, you rather see in Egypt somewhere or somewhere.
Well, there's two things happening out here now in sports. We're seeing the new commissioner in football has really brought the gauntlet down on his players. I mean,
great.
If they sneeze
great.
Wrong,
great.
They're being docked games, seasons, and even appeals aren't helping them. And a lot of these players are like the top players in the country, but it is not facing them one iota because he believes that the integrity of the game must be preserved. Now, that's
great.
Truly a new sheriff in town on football.
And I applaud that. I applaud that. I applaud that. You know, let's put this situation in your hands right quick. For instance, if you were an owner, okay, if you own the ball club, how would you feel if you're paying someone upwards of $10 million and you didn't know if they had the propensity to come in all drunked up or drugged up or they're susceptible of getting into problems off the field. I mean that's very common. I mean that's very basic, and you know no one wants to deal with that type of problem. I jumped up and down when Goodell came out with that, because someone need to set a precedent.
So it's not all about money all the time.
Well, but see,
and preserving it's about really doing the right thing for the sport.
A lot of times, that's why guys do what they do, because they feel like, okay, if I do this here, well, I can get out of it. You know, money will get me out of it. Well, ask Paris Hilton, is money going to get her out of going to jail?
Very good point you bring up.
You know, you need to start being more responsible. And, you know, I can tell anybody, you only have X amount of time to play this game. I mean, you know, you only have an X amount of time to play it. And what you need to do, you don't need to worry about what someone else is making. You need to play your ass off, try to make as much money as you can without pissing a whole lot of people off. Do your job. When it's over, going on home and have a great and satisfied feeling that you did something that a lot of people would give their right testicle to do.
Well, I got you on that one. Now, many people call baseball a man's game. Others say that professional baseball operates in the 50s. Now, some believe it's time for another women's professional league. Women today are playing just as intense as men in tennis, golf, basketball, hockey, and soccer, and lacrosse. So let me ask you a question. Is a new female professional baseball league what baseball needs to come into the 90s?
Well, Ida, you kind of going out of my range of, I don't know. I would assume if, you know, they did, well, I mean, when everybody went out to war, when they started the women's league back in the day, that seemed to have gone over pretty well. As a matter of fact, I knew some of those old gals. And some of those old gals talked the same kind of thing that some of the guys said. They had boyfriends in every town they went to. They were some hardcore old chicks, you know, but,
I interviewed some of those ladies on my show.
Yeah, you know, they were a lot of fun to talk to, very entertaining and, very enlightening. I mean, why not? I can't see any reason why, you know.
Well, WNBA. I mean, why not? American Women's Baseball League.
Right. So I mean, you know, why?
So we'll
not?
Come back after our break. We're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go into the close of our show here. Again, this is Ida Moyet. This is the Sports Maverick Show, and we'll be back with our special guest, Cliff Johnson, talking about the great, the good, and the ugly of baseball.
I think it's important for the fans.
It's about the passion of the game.
That's just keeping me. Like, I think that's what you gotta do.
You know, we doing it like this right here, you know?
A new all-star lineup begins April 19 on Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Sports Channel. And let's talk football. Here it is, sports fans, the Arthur A.G. Sports Radio Show, where we talk about sports and everything in between, from high school to college sports, right up to the pros. Join host Arthur A.G., co-star of the 1994 sports documentary, Hoop Dreams, for the Arthur A.G. Sports Radio Show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 Eastern, premiering on the Voice America Sports Channel. Arthur will host a variety of guests and will give the average fan a platform to voice his or her opinion about how sports play a significant role in our society. Get set for hard-hitting topics that cut to the soul of sports. See the sports industry through the eyes of the kid in the city and the kid in the suburbs. Hear from the businessmen and, yes, women from around the world. Whatever your passion is, football, basketball, baseball, golf, soccer, NASCAR, or hockey, the Arthur A.G. Sports Radio Show is for you. That's every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. For this last hour, we've been talking to Cliff Johnson. He has been our special guest here tonight, and we have just had a wonderful and enjoyable time with him. Cliff, of course, has a 15-season career with the Major League Baseball. He also posted that 2.58 batting average with 196 home runs and 669 RBIs and 1,369 games played. He holds the Major League record for pinch home runs. runs with 20. And, of course, he is a member of the 77 and 78 Yankee World Series Championship team. Cliff, we are so happy to have you with us tonight and just been so gracious to spend this last hour with us and just to talk about just some of the things that baseball may want to consider as they go forward. Again, as you speak to the young people out there, you know, and they're listening to your story today and your legacy, what would you say to them?
Well, make up your mind. When you make up your mind, also take with you attitude. Every ball club, organization, attitude is so important. They look for that soul. Take a good attitude with you. Take good work ethics, because they're going to be looking for that too. Because first of all, they want to see how you progress. They don't want to just put time and money and effort into a person and not see progress come out of that person. So these things, they're going to be watching over you to see if you're going to be productive and be good to the sport, and it'll be good to you, whichever it be, baseball, basketball, football, you know, whatever your endeavors are. Be true to it, be true to yourself, and hopefully you'll have a great career like this old Bigfoot Texan off the west side of San Antonio.
Well, you know, Bonds has had over 745 home runs for his career. He's had 11 home runs or more this season already. The internal steroid inquiry and the federal investigation report is due out during this 11th hour when Bonds will probably break Hank Aaron's record. What are your last thoughts of the sports image of baseball? And, you know, what do you think will happen as we go forward in baseball?
Well, Barry, Barry's not only the son of one of my greatest friends and teammates, Bobby Bonds. But, Ida, the only thing I can say is the man has not been proven guilty. Now, when the man is proven guilty, then my mind might change about some things. But my mind doesn't change about when that pitcher throws a ball from 60 feet six away and he hits it. Steroids doesn't have anything to do with that. But I think just like Hank Aaron, they had to have something to pick on. But, hey, Barry's, as far as I'm concerned, Barry's still innocent until they come out with some compound evidence and charge him. If he's guilty, then my mind might change. But until now, hey, hooray, Barry, go for it. I'm for you. And we'll celebrate me, you, and your mother, Pat.
Well, you heard it right here from Cliff Johnson. Obviously, there is a such thing as a person needs to be proven guilty before you allege all these wrongdoings against him. And I think out to the press, you know, the sensationalism does sell in the press. And so we're going to see that being one of the driving forces. But is it more about him breaking this record because he doesn't fit the mold of a Hank Aaron? I mean, people talk about him having been a very arrogant player in the ballpark and not being as concerned about other players. Is this coming back to haunt him, or what is
it? That's a great contributing factor to it. I mean, you know, he's not, or should I say, he's not been the most approachable guy. He's totally opposite from his dad. Bobby was a sweetheart of a guy, but I don't know. I haven't been around Barry all a long time, so I don't really know what has made him the way he is. I do know that these people that come in your clubhouse after ball game is over with pen and pad in their hands, these people, you know, they are looking for stories. And, you know, it doesn't take anything to be cordial to these people. Give them a story. I don't say you have to smile and you know, and joke with them, but at least be clubhouse even know you.
There you go. There you go. Well, my goodness, Cliff, it's just been a pleasure tonight just to hear some of your wisdom and your insight on this whole game called baseball, both on the field and off the field. On behalf of Sports Maverick, I just want to thank you for sharing that with us tonight. And just thank you again, and hopefully we'll have you come back to the show once that record is broken and give us your insight at that point in time. Again, this is Ida Moye with the Sports Maverick Show, and as we close our show tonight, we'd like to recognize Vanderbilt's lefty, David Price, as our Sports Maverick All-Star this month. He rises to be the top 5 draft pick in the June draft. Price led the Commodores to their first SEC Eastern Division since 1994. Price is also known for his academic achievement and community service. Learned the game by his father, Bonnie Price, being his target practice. 2004 Dodgers had him as the 21st pick in the 19th round, and he opted for college because he just was not mentally ready. He believes he is now 10 times better than now, and we salute you, David Price. Join us next week. The show is entitled Let the Summer Sports Begin, Tennis, Golf, and the Family. We'll discuss how you can learn a non-traditional sport and have fun doing so. Again, our special guest will be Bob Davis, former tennis partner Arthur Ashe, and Rooney Roker, the founder of Teens on the Greens, a nonprofit organization recruiting minorities into golf. Again, this is Ida Moye, and again, on behalf of Sports Maverick, thank you, Cliff Johnson, for joining us tonight.
You're quite welcome.
And have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Thank you for joining Ida Moye and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.